Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 267, the four stanzas. Jehovah reigns supreme, let nations tremble now. He dwells between the cherubim, let earth before him bow. And what follows, Psalter 267, the four stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the prophet Jeremiah, and there of the 15th chapter. Jeremiah 15. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as are for death to death, and such as are for the sword to the sword, and such as are for the famine to the famine, and such as are for the captivity to the captivity. And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, and the dogs to tear, and the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the earth, to devour and destroy. And I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth, because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? Or who shall bemoan thee? Or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest? Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. And I will fan them with the fan in the gates of the land. I will bereave them of children. I will destroy my people, since they return not from their ways. Their widows are increased to me above the sand of the seas. I have brought upon them against the mother of the young men a spoiler at noonday. I have caused them to fall upon it suddenly, and tears upon the city. She that hath borne seven languisheth. She hath given up the ghost. Her son is gone down while it was yet day. She hath been ashamed and confounded, and the residue of them will I deliver to the sword before their enemies, saith the Lord. Woe is me, my mother, that thou wast born me a man of strife, and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me. The Lord said, verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. Shall iron break the northern iron and the steel? Thy substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even in all thy borders. And I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not, for a fire is kindled in mine anger, which shall burn upon you. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering, and know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual, and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, and as waters that fail? Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. Mr. Harmon Lusink received the message that his heart oblation now hopes to take place on Friday morning. Let us ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when by renewal on this special day of prayer we may come up to thy house, may it also be a day of thanksgiving, that in the solemn times and in the midst of all the discouragements, that we may not forget all the good and precious things which thou hast left in the midst of us and our children. And may it be the goodness of the Lord that may lead to a true repentance. And how long we shall continue to live in prosperity and in the land of peace, it is all known unto thee. And to that end, as we stand on the threshold of another season, may we be found to be a praying and a begging people. May it be in this season that we may oftentimes be in a secret place, also to come with our blessings, but also to come with all our wants and needs, to come with our desires, and to come with our sins. Then thou knowest most perfectly how that each and every one has come up to thy house in this evening hour, Lord, when there are unanswered prayers. May it please thee to answer them, unfulfilled desires, that thou may be a surprising God, and with an impression all forfeited, all sinned away. And in the context of the third petition, thy will be done in earth as it is on heaven. Lord, that is only possible through the blessed work of thy Spirit, virtue, the mediatorial work of thy dear Son. May we so in this season be given to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, above all things, may it please thee to grant a special season in the midst of us and our children of a rich blessing upon the means of grace, a rich outpouring of thy Holy Spirit upon young and old, that it may be heard, that many boys and girls may receive a new heart, our youth to make that blessed choice for thee, and the older ones to be given by thy grace to seek that one thing needful, Lord. Wilt thou turn us from our evil and our worldly ways? Wilt thou bless and remember thy people with a close life to experience as special tokens of thy favor, also to be given to hear thy voice and to receive the strengthening of their faith. Lord, bless O the means of grace, the midst of the church, do help the consistory, in the midst of the family circles, and in the midst of our Christian school, and where thou continuest to bless with many children, with many youth, where the sanctuary is becoming fuller, then we humbly ask thee as a people that thou may grant prayer to that end, and also providential leadings, and that it may be for the welfare of this portion of thy Zion. Then we commend unto thee the young people who have marriages planned. Wilt thou spare them for their special day? Wilt thou be the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire? May it be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Wilt thou remember all of our young people? Wilt thou all grant them a future spouse, and do keep them under the old truth and under the old ways? Those that have left us among young and old, wilt thou remember them? May their eyes be opened. Lord, the temporal needs, they are also great. As we stand on the threshold of another season, may we be given to feel our dependency more and more. And where it is written in thy word, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It is declared that except the Lord bless the labor of our hands, that we shall labor in vain. To that end, remember the mothers in the home, the midst of the family circles, in the daytime, during the night watches. Wilt thou remember the mothers with the unborn? Wilt thou graciously watch over them and gladden with thy deeds? Wilt thou remember each with the labors that has been entrusted unto us, and those that have lost their employment because of the mandates, may it be restored. Remember our students, that the ways may be opened, that they may take up their studies by renewal. Wilt thou grant tokens of thy favor also in that respect? Wilt thou grant traveling mercies? There are many amongst us where day by day they are on the road, traveling many miles, different circumstances. Wilt thou graciously watch over them mile after mile? But, Lord, also, when we remain close at home, teach us that we need to be watched over everywhere. Bless the labors on the farm. Remember the animals, grant health. May it please thee to grant rain, sunshine, warmth. And if it may be according to thy will, to keep from great storms of destruction, that there may be food for man and beast. We commend unto thee hospitals, institutions of mercy, all those that labor therein, also those that labor in the emergency departments, many times under solemn circumstances. Wilt thou remember, wilt thou help and uphold them. Lord, wilt thou then so watch over us under all the different circumstances of life, with the crosses, with the burdens, with the impossibilities. Oh, do remember our family circles. May love abound between husband and wife, between parents and children. May thy word have a central place. We remember the nations of the earth, the country that is torn asunder because of the war. May it please thee to refrain the enemy, and that that people may be given to cry mightily unto thee. Remember our poor country, O Lord. Impress upon the heart of the Prime Minister what a terrible thing it is to lead a country further on the downward spiral to destruction, and that he shall have to give an account. May it please thee to open his eyes and grant yet repentance with all those that stand at his side. Be mindful of our province. Remember and help the Premier. Grant him a place at thy footstool. May he be given to continually open thy word. Remember all those that stand at his side. Remember the different governments of the cities and of the towns. Lord, wilt thou bless our community with an outpouring of thy Holy Spirit upon young and old. Then by renewal, we remember all the needy ones, the mourning ones, when they are called upon to begin another season with empty places in their hearts, in their lives, and in their homes to uphold them. Remember all our elderly ones. Remember our Bethesda, the residents, ministration, and the staff. Oh, may lovingly care for the elderly ones, Lord. May it please thee to all so grand a rich outpouring of thy Spirit in our care home, and that it may be encouragement for young and old, that thou would do a great work. Remember the sick and afflicted, the father in the hospital, hoping that the doctors may perform surgery to help, but, oh Lord, he has that dreaded disease. We may humbly ask thee, if it may be according to thy will, that his life may yet be lengthened a little, but, oh, above all, may he be given on his hospital bed to pray with the publican of old, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Remember the father who in 2 days hopes to go to the hospital. We humbly ask thee, if it may please thee, that the means may be blessed, that he may receive a little strength back. Remember him together with his wife. Then we commend unto thee the handicapped ones, that they become not overly discouraged. Can be many questions. Remember for body and for soul. Lord, we now humbly ask thee for thy gracious help in speaking and in listening. May our eyes truly be upon thee. Take away everything that could be a hindrance. Grant a holy attention. May the outgoing of this service, oh, what a blessing, what a privilege it would be when it would be heard that on prayer day that thou wast wrought wonderfully by thy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. May the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 273, the stanzas 3 through 7. O Lord, regard the prayer of those who love the walls of Zion well, whose hearts are heavy for her woes, who sad amid her ruins dwell, and what follows. Psalter 273, the stanzas 3 through 7. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then by renewal our text words, Jeremiah 14, the verses 7, 8, and 9. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonied, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. Jeremiah's intercession for a drought-stricken and sinful Judah. The serious time, the sincere confession, the God-glorifying address, the anxious concern, and the earnest plea. Then we hear of a sincere confession. The prophet Jeremiah, he knew and had an impression why the heavens were as brass, that the rain had been withheld. It was because of their sins. In the prayer of the prophet, then the prophet does not complain to the Lord of his people, but he includes himself. Our iniquities, our backslidings, 'tis a privilege and a blessing when on prayer day there may be a soul that becomes the lowest. Paul has written to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, and this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. To, as a Jonah, to become the guilty one. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, then we picture a courtroom, an accused, and the witnesses, they arise and they testify against us. That word iniquities in the Hebrew, that means to be bent. That means to be twisted, to be perverted. Thus when a Jeremiah says, O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, then he speaks of the sins of that people, but also of their existence. That word iniquities in the Hebrew, that is a broad word that includes the action, that includes the guilt, and that includes the punishment. Oh, what Jeremiah than when he came before the Lord, than it was with a genuine and a sincere confession of sin. How has it been in this day, young and old? Have there been souls that have confessed with tears our sins, our iniquities, our unworthiness? We have no rights. The Lord would deal according to our sins. He would have to pass us by, leave us over to ourselves, but yet have begged for the Lord's blessing, for his presence, for his favor, for his mercy, and for his grace, for the season to come, a people that cannot go on without the Lord. We read in Exodus 33, verse 15, that Moses has said unto the Lord, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up thence. Then there was only one hope, one expectation. Jeremiah did not have a single reason why the Lord should go up with that people from their side. May I ask you, congregation, do you have a single reason, a single argument of self, that the Lord should bless us, that the Lord should go with us, that the Lord should remember us? Then we have to say, there are none. And to that end, then already at the beginning, before the prophet was given to declare further the sinful state of people and nation, then Jeremiah had one hope, one expectation. Lord, do it for thy name's sake, because that people of Israel, that was the Lord's people, known by the heathens have heard of the wonderful works of the Lord. Think of Rahab, when the spies have come, was given to declare that it was known abroad, the wonderful deliverance that the Lord has given. Do it for thy name's sake. For then Jeremiah is given to confirm that from that people, absolutely not a single reason why the Lord should do it. Do you hear it, young and old? The mercy of the Lord, that is our only hope. But I read in Ezekiel 33 that the Lord will be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. And then on top of those iniquities, for our backslidings are many, that is to regress, to lapse. Maybe to make it simple for the boys and girls, let us picture at the moment a steep hill and a church on top, and that there is a pathway, but there is an ice storm, and then a man has come with sand and a small path. He is strewn with sand, that we may come to the top of that hill and come to church. But now if we walk up that hill, And if we would not pay attention, and we would go off that narrow path where that sand was, and we would step on the ice, then we would backslide to the bottom of the hill, maybe even further. That is what Jeremiah is confessing for the chosen people of the Lord, whom the Lord has blessed so richly. The oracles of God were entrusted unto them. They have come in the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, but they have backslidden. Thus that word backslidden, that does not refer to the world, but that refers to a people under the truth. To that end, Jeremiah in chapter 6, verse 16, there he has spoken of those old paths. Where is the good way when we may be given to walk therein? And then we shall find rest for our souls. We find that word backsliding 13 times in the book of Jeremiah. We read that they were bent to backsliding. And now Israel of old, that is a type of the true people of God. When they are slothful concerning the means of grace, the inner chamber empty, so taken up in the world, idols can be different reason. Then they come in a state of backsliding. And now what Jeremiah has said, for our backslidings are many. And then may it come there in this day for young and old, a guilty people, a sinful people, and yet begging the Lord for his blessing and his presence as we begin our journey through this season. How it shall be unknown unto us, the Lord grant an impression that he has everything in his hand, that he is the supreme ruler, also our heartbeat. And if the Lord bids it to stand still, we are no more. We, do you hear it? Each time by renewal, oh, with Jeremiah, many times called the weeping prophet. Think of chapter 9, verse 1, oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears for the slain of the daughter of my people. When we consider the circumstances of Judah in the time of Jeremiah, a backslidden state, but what is it compared to our day? Such a declension from the Word of God, and where the devil with his cohorts, with all the powers of hell, are trying to erase the two roses that are left out of paradise. And that is the Lord's day, and that is holy matrimony. The Lord keep those roses for us and our children. Therein the blessing of the Lord shall rest, and there it pleases the Lord to work in a special way. We have sinned against thee. May we have an impression of that word, thee. We have sinned against that great and majestic God who was so good doing. How many mercies the Lord grants unto us and our children. May in this season, may there be special times also in the family circles to experience a special goodness, providential leadings, answers upon prayer, further steps in the way of grace. We have sinned against thee, a God that is so good, a God who was so holy and so just. We could speak of all the attributes of a God who's omnipresent, omniscient, who sees everything, and yet, Lord, with that knowledge in our understanding, we have sinned against thee. David, in Psalm 51, has confessed, I have sinned against thee and done which was evil in thy sight. Our third thought, the God-glorifying address, then the prophet always has confessed, no rights, no worthiness, have sent it all away. But then he was given to turn to the Lord. Have already heard this morning, O Lord, that is that covenant name, was revealed in the burning bush. In Exodus 3 verse 14, I am that I am. That points to that faithful covenant God who shall never forsake the work of his hands. He shall remember his people. He shall continue to gather and preserve his church. Do we belong to that people, boys and girls, young people, and older ones? Is that the question on prayer day? Have there been a few souls who, with a poet, oh, when the Lord works, then it is not outside of us, it is in us, and then we shall experience wonderful things. But for that true people, the way can be so mysterious, can be so many riddles, can be many sins. Are there a few souls that have said, Lord, 'tis a point I long to know? Oft it causes anxious thought. Am I thine or am I not? Ah, Lord, if I may now receive a token, a little assurance on prayer day, then I can begin this season so easily, because thou art too good to be unkind and too wise to err. And then whatever befalleth me, if I may have that knowledge that I am one of thine, oh, to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, then it shall be well, whatever befalls me and our loved ones. And to that end, Jeremiah has said, he was given to look above the circumstances. Oh, the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof, in time of trouble. A Savior is one that delivers, to deliver outwardly. But when we think of a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Mediator, has been called Jesus because he has come to save his people from their sins. Jeremiah, why do you not begin with rain? Because it is so dry. The suffering animals, do you hear a congregation? Jeremiah has first spoken of the cause of sin, and now a beggar's prayer that the Lord may still remember that people, the Savior thereof in time of trouble. Many troubles upon the world, Job has said in Job 14 verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. When in our family circles, when at the moment there may not be many troubles, when you may be blessed in many ways, when love may abound, then I hope there may be times that you may be humbled, and then to ask ourselves, and who maketh thee to differ? What the Lord has laid away for us, what shall come upon us in this season? The Lord in his wisdom and in his goodness hides the future from us. Are times that the Lord reveals a few secrets to his people. And then in a time of trouble, then we need deliverance, outward deliverance, a time of trouble with our sins, with that missing, with that separation, when the Lord hides his face, Jeremiah is given to declare that the Lord, the hope of Israel, a Savior thereof in the time of trouble. And then further, Jeremiah, in a childlike way, with an eye upon that great and mighty God that has chosen the children of Israel to be his people and to make himself a glorious name, although that people have ruined it all, then he is given to ask, Lord, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land? When we have a stranger, that is one that is separated, secluded from most of the people. There's one that does not dwell in the land. A stranger many times is not approached by many people. And now Jeremiah says, Lord, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land? Thus that is not one that dwells richly and works among that people. And further, as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night. And Jeremiah saying, Lord, why should thou be one that travels through the land as a stranger, as one that tarries for the night, but then continues on thy journey? Ah, then it was the desire of Jeremiah, not that the Lord should be a stranger. How is it with us, congregation? How is it in our dwellings? Fathers and mothers, how is it? Is the Lord as a stranger in the land? Do you let the Lord go so easily by? Or are there earnest supplications? Lord, I am also a stranger in this world. Many times I feel so alone, so singular. Many do not understand. Many think I am too strict. Many think I am too old-fashioned. Oh, others say, you must believe, but I have experienced that I cannot believe. Ah, for those strangers, they are given to beg oftentimes that the Lord is not as a stranger, not as one, as a wayfaring man, but they need him to dwell in their hearts, in their homes, in their families. It is a people that learns to know that precious mediator as their prophet, their priest, and their king. Then further, why shouldest thou be as a man astonied, astonished, beholding that people as a stranger, grieve for their sins and for their backsliding? Jeremiah, with reverence, saying, Lord, dost thou not see our sins, our iniquities, the backsliding of this people, that they are making themselves ripe for the judgments of the Lord, that they refuse to listen, that they refuse to repent, that they refuse to listen to the true prophets of the Lord, that they are making themselves ripe for judgments. Ah, Lord, thou knowest. Thou leavest us to ourself. We are lost. We are undone. And therefore, ah, Lord, be not as a stranger, an onlooker, as one astonished, but could it yet please thee in thy mercy, O Lord, for thy name's sake, to have a favor upon this people? May it please thee to work, to pour out thy Holy Spirit upon dead and backslidden sinners. Then they shall call on thy holy name. Then they shall turn and repent. And they shall follow hard after thee. Why shouldest thou be as a man astonied, as a mighty man that cannot save? There is help laid upon one that is mighty. Ach, Lord, thou art that mighty God, for whom nothing is impossible. Thou knowest our condition, our sad condition, under the judgments of the Lord. Lord, thou wast spoken with lesser judgments, and so little returning, and so little repenting. Lord, leave us not to ourself. Leave us not to the hardening of the heart, but wilt thou arise? And then he continues with an earnest plea. That is our fifth thought. Let us first sing Psalter 441, the stanzas 2 and 3. Recall no more the sins we have committed, but may they all in pity be remitted. O Lord, make haste. O may thy mercy tender now strength and help unto thy people render. And what follows, 441, the stanzas 2 and 3.
Thank you.
and earnest plea. And yet thou, O Lord, the second time that we read that address, art in the midst of us. Then the Lord was present among that people with the temple, the sacrifices. The Lord was present with the sacraments, circumcision, the Passover. The Lord was yet present where he has sent his prophet to speak unto them. The Lord was present among them because there was still a remnant which the Lord has called and converted. Was a small remnant that was given to fear the Lord. Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us. That should be our main concern. How shall we know congregation when the Lord dwells richly amongst his people? It's true. Read in Matthew 18, verse 20, where two or three are gathered in my name. There I am in the midst of them. May we stay under that old truth. That is our only hope. The work of the Lord by his Spirit. People shall know that the Lord dwelleth richly amongst them when it is heard that boys and girls, young people, middle-aged, and older ones are converted. How has it been the last season? From Thanksgiving to prayer day, are there those that may believe that the Lord has begun that good work? Have been times in the church when it became still that such a congregation would come together, examine themselves, and cry unto the Lord. Lord is in the midst of a people when God's people may receive visits, tokens of his favor, instruction, further uncovering, and to be led further in the mysteries of salvation. The Lord is in the midst of a people, one under special callings and judgments, that they are used, that a people is given to repent and given to reform. Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. In the marginal notes of our Bible it says, thy name is called upon us. What must we then think of? The sacrament of holy baptism, where thy name is called upon us. And the Lord has a special eye upon that people. And we have heard it from the second commandment, the threatening and the judgments, but also the promise. Thy name is called upon us, must be evident by confession and by walk. And then finally, at the end of that prayer, a short a simple, a very important request. We would think that that prayer would end, "Lord, wilt thou now grant us rain?" But that we do not read does not mean that the prophet was not concerned. He was part of that people. He has seen the suffering and the wants. But the most important, leave us not. The greatest judgment that can come upon a people, usually step by step. I read in Ezekiel 9 and 10 that the prophet was given to see that the glory of the Lord had moved to the threshold of the temple. To that end, we read the admonishments in God's word, "Quench and grieve not the Spirit of God, Lord, leave us not." Included, implied is, may it please thee to work mightily, lovingly, and irresistibly by thy Spirit in this season. Do bless thy holy word. Wilt thou grant that one thing needful? Prepare us that at the end, it's possible that the end of our journey shall be in this season. We need to be prepared. We need, as a sinner, to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a profound prayer. Truth, sincerity, confession, imploring the Lord for his blessing. And what do we now read? What did the Lord answer? Verse 11. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people, for their good. What a message that must have been for that Jewish nation. When the prophet came out of the inner chamber from his knees, and that the prophet says, "People, I have attempted much shortcoming to lay the great needs of land and people before the God of heaven and earth." And the Lord has answered, pray not for this people, for their good. What a solemn message. Oh, to incite them to cry mightily unto the Lord. And to that end, we have heard it this morning that Jeremiah, he has taken up his lamentation and prayers by renewal. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us, was the only hope for the prophet. Jeremiah is many times called the weeping prophet. And concerning that weeping, we shall close with a few paragraphs of a godly minister who has opened up his heart as a weeping minister. That was Samuel Davis, born in 1723. And the Lord has taken him home at the young age of 37, leaving behind a beloved wife and 6 young children. That minister was privileged to live in the time of the Great Awakening, preached in Virginia, also part of a delegation where the states was still under England, that they have went to England with certain situations. He has preached before the King of England, and in a certain sermon has unburdened his heart a little. We shall read it. Then in the midst of his discouragements, then he has stated, "For though I have given such exhortations over and over, but they seem generally in vain, there is indeed a happy number among my hearers who I doubt not have regarded the gospel preached by my lips, but alas, as to the rest, I have been so often disappointed that I now hardly hope to succeed. These, my dear brethren, are my discouragements and my retirements when no eye sees me but God. And, O sinners, will your future conduct prove that there was good reason for my fears? Alas, is the ministry of the gospel a useless institution with regard to you? Have such exhortations as these no weight with you? Will you resist my benevolent hand when I would stretch it forth to pluck you out of the burning? Well, my friends, I cannot help it. If you will perish, if you are obstinately set upon it, I have only this to say, that your poor minister will weep in secret for you and drop his tears upon you as you are falling into ruin from between his hands. Yes, sinners, God forbid that I should cease to pray for you and pity you. While my tongue is capable of pronouncing a word, and you think it worth your while to hear me, I will send the calls of the gospel after you. And if you perish after all, you shall drop into hell with the offers of heaven in your ears. Fain would I clear myself and say, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. But alas, my heart recoils and fails. I have no doubt at all, but the gospel I have preached to you is indeed the gospel of Christ, and I cheerfully venture mine own soul upon it. but in dispensing it among you, I am conscious of so much weakness, coldness, and unskillfulness that I am at times shocked at myself, lest I should be accessory to your ruin. However, this is certain, a great guilt will fall somewhere. I desire to take my own share of shame and guilt upon myself and to humble myself for it before God. And I pray you do the same. Oh, humble yourselves before God for your past conduct and prepare to meet him in the midst of a burning world. A few words of a minister that has lived in a richer time, unburdened his heart. The Lord grant the application. Amen. Lord, thou by renewal hast given a prayer day to us and our children. We have heard the prayer of a weeping prophet. We humbly ask thee, whatever thou withholdest in this season, withhold not the blessed administration of thy Holy Spirit for young and old. May in these solemn times, may it be a richer season for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. Lord, bring us safely to our homes. Watch over us in this night. Remember in the furtherance of this week. Bring us together on the Sabbath day. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, 247, let us sing 1, 4, 5, and 6. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home, and what follows. 247, we shall sing the stanzas 1, 4, 5, and 6. I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.